You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour.
You're not going to continue this broadcast, are you, sir?
On Radio TFI. Happy Saturday there, kids and kittens, as Ed Van Ness would say. You're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. It is Saturday, January 13, 2018. And we're glad you're aboard, glad you're listening. Whether you're listening live or listening to the archive, we just thank you for listening. I'm flying solo today, by the way, if you hadn't figured it out, or if I hadn't told you already. I'm all by myself. Got to try to create a monologue for 1 hour. Well, it'll be good practice. I'll need that particular skill coming up in less than a month. If you hadn't heard, I'll go into details a little bit later on. All right, joining the conversation here. Number to call is 754-800-CHAT. 754-800-CHAT. For those of you who have a rotary phone, that's 754-800-2428. Feel free to join in the conversation. Looking at what we have to deal with here, we have a bunch of Uber and a few other stories to go by. But let's jump into this fray, if you will. Over the past week, a well-known actress, Pamela Anderson, weighed in with a PSA advising people about the perils, especially women, advising people of the perils of riding in TNCs, Uber and Lyft. I'm going to play that for you real quick. The video itself is a little bit longer, but there was no standalone audio quality to this. So this is about the last 10 seconds of the PSA where Pam Anderson actually speaks.
When you accept a ride from a ride-hailing app, you also accept the risks that come with it. Many ride-hail companies consider their drivers third-party providers, so they don't have to accept any responsibility or accountability for their actions. Always ride responsibly.
And of course, now the trending hashtag from that is ride responsibly. And there you go. I mean, and that, you know, I'm preaching to the choir. When I'm doing the show, I'm assuming that the majority of the listeners to this show are indeed either in the taxi industry or somehow affiliated with the taxi industry. We have picked up other listeners, but I still say the majority of listeners to this show are somehow affiliated with the taxi industry. So in a way, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But all you got to do is check out hashtag ride responsibly, and you'll see. You'll see that this has definitely caught on, especially with the Me Too movement. And I got a couple stories that I've seen on the Me Too movement. It seems like the headline story, if you will, this week is that Ally Sheedy, the '80s actress Ally Sheedy from things like The Breakfast Club. I think she was also in like 16 Candles, but the quintessential '80s actress Ally Sheedy supposedly accused James Franco of sexual inappropriations. I'll read a little bit from this. James Franco was riding high on Sunday night, scoring a Golden Globe for his acclaimed turn in The Disaster Artist, a behind-the-scenes comedy he also directed. It was a career peak for Franco, who took the stage at the Beverly Hills Hilton wearing a pin honoring the fight against sexual misconduct. But not everybody is celebrating. Ally Sheedy, co-star of The Breakfast Club, fired off a series of cryptic tweets, since deleted, in which appeared to take aim at Franco, who stars in The Disaster Artist as an eccentric cult movie hero, Tommy, I can't pronounce that last name, I've never seen the movie, so. But anyway, that's going on. That seems to be the latest in the trend, if you will, with sexual harassment claims. I don't know, you know, when you take your tweet down, she got a lot of blowback for it. I don't know why she took it down. Nobody's really heard from her since on that particular issue. So, again, you don't really know what to think or what to believe in those situations sometimes. I know that the Me Too movement has brought a lot of claims of sexual harassment, sexual assaults, and the like out of the woodwork, quite frankly. Minnesota Twins third baseman Miguel Sano is reportedly being investigated by Major League Baseball for, I guess, forceful activities towards women. And I tell you, I'll share this thought with you real quick here on all this. I was engaged in Twitter discussing this earlier in the week. But apparently, we're at a point in time where sometimes you have to worry what is appropriate, what isn't appropriate when it comes to addressing members of the opposite sex. Things aren't like they were in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Sexual harassment claims are real now. And I will admit to struggling with this a little bit, because you know, I'm a 54-year-old guy. You know, I'm happily married. I don't have to worry about any of this. But there are other people who are in the workplace that do have to deal with this situation. And so you have to ask yourself, and it's a very very legitimate concern, because you don't know what's right, what's wrong, where is the line, can you have a conversation with a member of the opposite sex and not be afraid that you let something slip out that was inappropriate? You don't know. I mean, and you, here's the thing. Whether it's true or not, a claim of sexual harassment or sexual assault can ruin the life of the accused. You know, you have to, you know, and I'm not being insensitive here to the accuser, if you will, but I know that right now there are at least a few men who are really confused about this. Do you just act like a robot in the workplace? Do you just go on about your job? I'm sure employers would like that if you just went about your job and didn't socially interact with any of your coworkers. Probably get a few more things done. But I don't know if that makes for any better of a work environment where people are afraid to talk to each other. People are afraid to interact in other ways. No, it probably shouldn't be like it was back in the 80s when you had all those pornographic faxes that would come over. Yeah, I think we've probably progressed beyond that. But it is a question. It's a question I'm going to probably go into here a little bit deeper into detail in about another month or so when we bring back the Shannon Files on Sunday. Okay, so, as I said, my partner in crime, Mr. Ed Van Ness, is out ill today. You're going to have to put up with me babbling on here. But he didn't leave me quite alone here. So he sent me an email, wanted me to read this note. He says, "Good morning, kids and kittens. It's been a full week, and I was looking forward to sharing it all with you. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a tough week, and it appeared that your old Uncle Ed was going to go down swinging. Then I learned the true connection between the Cheeto in charge and a shithole. Believe me, the thing spewing out of me all week could have just as easily been mistaken for our cabinet. Stand tall, true believers. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, even if it is a shithole." And he says at the end, "Be nice to John." And that's probably the most important thing he says in his whole note. Be nice to John. But man, I tell you, get this. Is there any line that Trump isn't going to cross? I don't have the quote, his exact quote here in front of me, but he was reportedly overheard saying something about why are we allowing these people from these shithole nations to come into the United States, and I'm paraphrasing there. He was basically knocking Haiti as well as other African nations. Why? And in the same sentence basically said, why can't they be like Norway? Why can't we let more Norwegians in, I believe? Now, if this isn't the sign of an absolute racist in the White House, I don't know what is. This is, I hate to say it, that this is a new low for Donald Trump, because all you got to do is wait around a little bit longer, and this certainly will be another new low. I don't know what the president's base thinks about this. I know as an American, I'm embarrassed. It's getting to the point where you're almost embarrassed to be an American for having to deal with this kind of garbage from our president. Once again, if you want to join in the conversation, the number is 754-800-CHAT, 754-800-CHAT. No, it's not an 800 number, but it is 754-800-2428. Speaking of the shithole president, apparently Michael Cohen, a Trump attorney, arranged for Stephanie Clifford, known in the porn industry as Stormy Daniels, to receive a $130,000 settlement as part of a non-disclosure agreement to keep quiet about a Trump sexual encounter 1 month before the 2016 election. It never ceases to amaze me. First off, Trump has, for his age, he's over 70 years old. For his age, he has a trophy wife. So it just baffles the hell out of me why he would think he needed to do something like this. You know, I think what's probably happened in this, folks, to be brutally honest with you, say what you want about Barack Obama, whether you like his policies, whether you don't like his policies. There was one thing that you could count on for President Obama, and that is you never had any scandals attached to that administration whatsoever. Didn't have any ghosts in the closet, if you will, rising up to bite him. The worst thing that happened to him was a bunch of lunatics trying to claim that he wasn't born in the United States, the birther movement. And who was part of the birther movement? One Donald J. Trump. So, I don't know when people are going to finally realize that that Trump, I don't know. The voters got hoodwinked. I don't know if the Russians had that much to do with the actual outcome of the election. I think it also might have a little something to do with the fact that Hillary Clinton didn't run the best of campaigns. She should have won. She should have won hands down. But I think she just kind of assumed that there was no way she could lose. But I won't get too deep into that. Here's what you got, folks. This is your president for the next 3 years. God help us. One more thing on the Cheeto in charge. This is an opinion piece that states that Trump's new Medicaid work requirements are a disaster for disabled people and everyone else. In a letter to state Medicaid directors Thursday morning, the Trump administration announced that it would allow states to require Medicaid recipients to participate in a work program or other form of approved community engagement in order to retain their health benefits. While there will supposedly be exceptions for disabled people, Allowing states to implement the work requirement is a terrible idea. The person goes on to say, as a disability lawyer and a disabled person myself, I know this policy change will be disastrous for my community in a number of important ways. Now, I'll give you my quick thought on that. I don't necessarily think it is a bad thing to bring something back to the community if you are receiving some form of public assistance, whether it be food assistance, whether it be medical, whether it be cash assistance, rent assistance, whatever. I don't think that it's too much for society to ask that you be, that you contribute, whether it's by holding a job or some form of community service. Not a bad idea, really. And I would hope that if this is indeed implemented, that people take into consideration that not everybody is going to be able to participate in this. Now, we're lucky here in Minnesota. We have programs here such as Minnesota Care, who actually do help working Minnesotans with health insurance, having health coverage. It's a great program. I don't know how many other states in this country have something similar, but I do know that here in Minnesota we have this. It's a great program. But I'm not going to disagree that first off, as a society, we should be willing to help those people who are trying to help themselves, if you will, contributing to the betterment of the community, if you will. And on the other hand, I think that we do have a responsibility to our community when we are receiving those type of benefits. So, okay. I'm going to go ahead and do this real quick. This is going to kind of be weird doing this by myself. By the way, 754-800 chat if you want to join into the conversation. It may be a little early for this, but I think I do have quite a few Uber stories on the other end of this. So I think we'll go ahead and go through this. So this is again a note from Ed, and he points out that he finished the regular season overall at 149-107. It is a nice pick ratio. Nearly 60% for those scoring at home, or even if you're alone. He says, let's talk about last week. We left our heroes in a precarious situation, having picked three games exactly the same way. The decider would be the Atlanta at Los Angeles game. We'll come back to that. We both took Tennessee, getting 7.5 points over Kansas City. And, well, if you were paying attention, Tennessee not only beat that spread, but pretty much blew that spread and Kansas City out of the water. Buffalo at Jacksonville. We both took the Jags, and they pulled through. Buffalo, there's a reason why you haven't made the postseason this century. I hate to say it. I was really disappointed by that. I would have loved to have seen Buffalo advance, but quite frankly, I think it would have been a fool's bet. So, Carolina at New Orleans, we both took the Saints and gave up 5.5 points. New Orleans won by 5. And finally, Atlanta at LA. And yes, he says, John went the right way. You're right. I did go the right way. So for the postseason, I am 3-1, and Ed is 2-2. Overall, Ed is 35-30. John is 34-31. Only a game behind. Go figure. This week's games. Philadelphia is a 2.5 point favorite over Atlanta. Yeah, that's right. New England is a 13.5 point favorite over Tennessee. Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite over Jacksonville. And Minnesota is a 3.5 point favorite over New Orleans. Ed is going to take 2.5, or take Philadelphia, giving up 2.5 points. Tennessee, he's going to take, getting 13.5 points. He's going to take Pittsburgh, giving up 7 points. And New Orleans, getting 3.5 points. I'm going to go with Atlanta getting 2.5 points over the Eagles. I think that the air has come out of the balloon there when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to go with New England with 13.5 point spread. I think, quite frankly, that New England is going to completely blow Tennessee out of the water. Pittsburgh. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I'm going to give up 7 points. I'm going to take Pittsburgh on that one. And there's no chance in hell that I'm going to bet against the Minnesota Vikings. I'll give up the 3.5 points over New Orleans. So there you have it. That's Ed versus the spread, even though it sounded a lot like John versus the spread on this one, but we'll go with it. No problem. Oh, sometimes I miss going to Vegas and playing those parlay cards, though. It was a lot of fun. It definitely made the game more interesting. And if you didn't have a particular team that you followed week in and week out, it did make watching the football games a little bit more interesting, if you will. I tell you what, folks, I'm going to do something here real quick. I'm going to step away and play you this little bit of information. Be back in a minute.
Hey, everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on the Taxi Stand Hour at, on Radio TFI, I should say, at Radio TFI. So, getting back to the future here, if you will, I want to turn you on here to a, maybe I can't do it. It disappeared. Goddamn jingle palette. Anyways, I was going to play the promo for our upcoming shows here, but that's not going to happen. So let's just break away and cover a few things that have happened in the putrid world of Uber. Now, apparently here, Uber, it's reported through Vanity Fair that Uber used another secret software program to evade police. It's called Ripley, and it served as a remote panic button to shield Uber's data from warranted law enforcement. It's amazing just how shady this operation is for Uber. And again, don't think just because most of the reports are about Uber, don't think that Lyft is sitting there polishing its halo, because folks, they're just as seedy. They're just smart in letting Uber take the fall, if you will. But yes, they're just as shady. But apparently they were using this device to basically bury their own, they buried their own stuff in the cat litter box, if you will. Hopefully, eventually, they will just go away. But until then, we still have... I guess the thing is, if Uber actually went away, what else would we have to talk about? Here's one that's kind of sickening in its own little way. A North Carolina Uber driver admits to dumping a woman's body. He claims that she overdosed. I'll give you a little bit of the story here. An Uber driver claimed he dumped a woman's body in a wooded area in Tabor City in North Carolina after she apparently overdosed on drugs, according to a police report. Charles Rayford Hunt Jr., 40, of Myrtle Beach, is charged with concealing / failure to report a death in the December 31st, 2017 discovery of Kathleen Capra's body. Again, you know what I think that part of Uber's problem is here? Okay, so there are a few satellite offices where Uber drivers can come and go to get help, get information, and whatnot. I don't know the length of which that occurs, but there, Uber, for the most part, you're approved as an Uber driver by a or nationally. It isn't each local office is the one that approves Uber drivers. It is a national thing. You sign up online, you submit a few documents, some of which are accurate documents, some of them of which are fake documents. We've all heard about that and heard the stories with that. But there is no real way of screening these particular drivers. So my question is about Mr. Rayford, who looks like kind of a shady character to begin with. My question is okay, if the woman did indeed overdose, why not just report it? Did you have something to do with the overdose? My first reaction is that's probably why he got scared and decided to not report the incident. Uber threatens to avoid Winnipeg because of MPI regulations. Now, I'm assuming MPI refers to a regulatory body in Manitoba. As Winnipeggers gear up for ride-sharing companies to enter the market, one of the largest says it will not be doing business here, being in Winnipeg, at least for right now. Uber said Manitoba Public Insurance wants drivers to be insured based on the hours worked instead of a blanket policy that would allow drivers more flexibility. Once again, here is Uber dictating the terms of its operation instead of vice versa. They've made themselves so wildly popular worldwide that they feel that they can just undermine regulations wherever it is they go. And part of the problem is they don't want their quote unquote partners, their chumps, their slaves, to have to go through too much, because it might be too much of a pain in the ass, and then they won't have the number of drivers that they need to meet their demand. There are a lot of people, quite frankly, that wouldn't get involved in the taxi industry because there's a lot of hoops to jump through. Up here in Minnesota, there are hoops to jump through. As it stands right now, you have to go through a background check, which includes fingerprinting. You have to take a drug test, and you're also subject to random drug tests as long as you are operating. We got a call coming in here, 763 number. And hello, lucky caller.
I'm lucky?
Yeah.
Well, you're lucky I called.
Oh.
This is fun.
Mr. Rolando Fuentes, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fabulous, thank you.
All right.
Looking forward to our game tomorrow, and I thought of calling into the show, but only because I saw it posted on Facebook. So I really don't know. Are you doing a live podcast right now?
Yeah, this is a live podcast. It's called...
Yeah.
It's called the Taxi Stand Hour. Basically, it's myself and a partner who drives cab out in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Well, as it turns out, this particular week, he is a little under the weather. So I have had this I have had this all by myself today. So.
Well, you're the man that could do it solo.
Oh, I don't know, man.
You've never sure, except for when I needed a ride from the airport and you're.
Oh, my.
Solos with the school contract.
Oh, my God. Backstory on that, I got up Saturday morning, nice, bright, and early when I normally am between the sheets last week, and took this young man to the airport. He it was great to see him. I hadn't seen him God knows how long, and I couldn't get him for the return ride because I was committed. God damn!
Hey, that says a lot about you. You don't break your commitments for nobody.
Yeah.
Well, except for maybe Annie.
Oh, now that's cold. That is cold, man.
Yeah, that meant that was a compliment, man. You got to break it for your lady, man.
Well,
a woman.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, this is true. She does indeed come first. She'd look at me like right now and say, you're full of shit.
Yeah, I feel kind of irresponsible, but what is your current podcast discussion?
Well, we were kind of all over the place here. We were right now is in the middle of talking about Uber and what they're doing.
No, not Uber.
Well,
that seemed like a hot point with the taxi industry.
It is, and one of the biggest things that. The contentions that the cab drivers have is they're allowed to be out and transporting people for hire without near the regulations, without near the without near the hoops that cab drivers have to jump through in order to take people for hire. I'll give you an example. Just yesterday, I took my cab to the St. Paul City Garage for an inspection. That inspection doesn't cost me because I leased the cab, but it cost our company $165. An Uber driver can take his vehicle to a list of approved shops. Meineke comes to mind, the one on University Avenue in St. Paul. They can get their vehicle inspected for $35.
Wow. You have to go to that facility for the $165 inspection.
Exactly. That's just one thing. Uber drivers don't have to go through near the hassle to do their job. All they gotta do is provide vehicle information. Provide insurance information, which, by the way, they don't carry commercial insurance for the most part. Now you can understand why cab drivers are kind of banging their heads against the wall while they're out here trying to work.
Trying to make a living.
Yep, exactly.
Getting the undercut.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I understand that. I got a question regarding background checks. What is that as far as Uber and Lyft and taxi companies? Is it all pretty much the same as far as that goes for the driver?
Uber and Lyft have a company that does their background checks for them. Otherwise, in the taxi industry, the background checks are pretty much performed by, like in my case, they're performed by the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension.
I can reject an opinion here. They need to get a lot more in depth in regards to your background, Johnny Boy, but go ahead.
Well, I've been able to kind of squeak under the table there, if you will. So it's been okay for me. But no, seriously, though, I mean, the background checks are substandard. I mean, they have, in cities where the comprehensive background check has been required, there has been a number of things that have turned up, such as sexual assaults, such as assaults. In one case, there was actually somebody that was convicted of murder. And yeah, everybody has a, should have the opportunity to gain, if you will, meaningful employment after doing time. I don't think it's the greatest idea to be in a situation where you're one-on-one with somebody in the back seat of a vehicle. That's just my opinion.
This is true, because there's many vulnerable people, especially in the afternoon, early hours, that could be subjected to an assault by an individual that, you know, is kind of a sketchy background and might revert to form an opportunity. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's one of the stories I covered just before you called here, out in North Carolina. An Uber driver admitted to dumping a woman's body in a field and claimed that she overdosed. So now the million-dollar question excuse me, becomes, was he the cause of her overdose? Do you think that she was just in the back seat, thought it was a good idea to take too much heroin or whatever? Or was this driver somewhat involved? I hate to say it, that I think the latter, to be honest with you, because first off, he looks like kind of a shady character to begin with. And I, oh no, you see his picture, see his mugshot. He does. He looks like that type. It doesn't register with me. So I don't know,
but dumping, if you're innocent, why are you dumping a body? I'd just go out to the hospital and say there's something wrong with this person. If you're not involved at all,
yeah,
why would you be scared?
You're absolutely right.
Somebody and give them a ride, and apparently had become deceased during the ride. But if you participated in it, then for instance, saying, hey, I know where you can buy your heroin and hooking them up, and then said person dies, then I can see where you panic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that guy doesn't sound like he's totally innocent.
No.
In that person's death. It might have been accidental, but in any case.
Yeah, I can't help but think that he had something going on with that. So.
Well, hey. That's too bad for that person's family, especially.
Yeah. Well, my brother from another mother, I appreciate you calling. I got a couple other topics I want to get on.
Yes.
I'm going to get on to here.
Yeah, brother. I just like calling, you know, and say good morning to you and hope everything's going well with the show. And
well,
in the future, I hope you're available for rides.
Of course.
the airport again.
Of course. Absolutely.
All right, sir.
All right.
Skol Vikings.
Skol Vikings. You are absolutely right. Have a good one.
Yep.
Yeah, bye-bye. Well, there we are. And you, my friends, can also participate in this in the conversation by calling 754-800-CHAT. Got into a couple of other... This one I found incredibly funny. And I think I'm going to read this one to you in whole, because it really... I thought it was entertaining at the very least. CES painfully exposes Uber and Lyft's big convenience problem. Now, for those of you who don't know, CES is a big convention once a year, Consumer Electronics Show, I believe is what it's called. All the latest and greatest as far as gadgets, technology, and the like. So now this story is by a gentleman by the name of Brian Clark, and it's brought to you by thenextweb.com. Uber and Lyft may have driven into a problem, at least in Las Vegas. For years, the city's taxi drivers raged about losing fares to upstart competitors with better technology and cheaper rates. For years, Uber and Lyft have capitalized on this to cannibalize not just the taxi industry, but each other as well. There are no winners in war. And although the biggest loser has to be to date the taxi industry, Uber and Lyft haven't actually won either. By refusing to play by the same set of rules, each seems to have backed itself into a corner and given taxi drivers the upper hand once again. For CES goers this year, it's not hard to spot the problem. Uber and Lyft rely on convenience. Between the event itself and the hotels, we find ourselves coming and going from each day. Well, I didn't read that right, but you get the message. A bit of a pain to fire up our favorite ride-sharing app and jaunt around the city. He says, take the airport, for example. At McCarran International, those seeking a ride can simply walk out the front door and hail a cab. For Uber and Lyft passengers, it's a bit more complex. First, there is no clear signage pointing to a pickup area. Bullshit. Although I am told it does exist. After asking, you will find that it is across the walkway, and depending on where you exit, you might actually have to enter a parking garage and go up a level. Now, I'm going to call bull. I'm going to interrupt that for a minute. We just took a trip to Vegas a couple of years ago, and there were signs all over the terminal on how to find your Uber or your Lyft. Also, the inconvenience doesn't stop at the airport, he says. It happens at most hotels, too. Taxi pickup is often directly in front of the hotel under a pavilion and is usually next to some type of climate control device. The ride-sharing companies, however, often have to deal with long walks either to the backside exit. Often they have to deal with long walks either to the back or side exit. I'm not the best reader. Forgive me. At least once I was caught standing in the rain 15 minutes in the rear to hail a Lyft. Hotel employees seem to understand the issue and often seem complicit. Just last night, I had a man in the front of a major hotel on the Strip tell me he could get me a taxi right now, or I could walk 20 minutes to the back of the building and stand in the rain and get an Uber. This guy goes on to talk about how in cahoots the taxi unions are with the city's regulators. And so I have to kind of stop him right there and say, Mr. Brian Clark, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. The taxi industry, which I was a part of out in Las Vegas for over 5 years, the taxi industry was screwed over in so many different ways by regulators, by hotel staff, and quite frankly, the drivers were screwed over a lot by their own companies. Uber and Lyft have been kind of just the last straw, if you will, into the issues of which that taxi drivers in that city have had to deal. Now, you're not going to get any sympathy from me because your Uber and Lyft passengers have to go someplace else to pick up a vehicle other than the taxi stand. I think that, quite frankly, for the years upon decades that the taxi industry has been screwed over by regulators, it's about time they got it right. I also think that these hotels, they want to keep these rideshare companies out of their main area there where passengers are picked up. Usually the taxi stand is right in the area where the valet loading and unloading is. So what they don't want to have happen is they don't want yet another form of transportation coming up there and cruising for fares. You know, we already have documented on this show, thanks to Justin LaPlante, how shady some Uber drivers are, that if somebody sees an Uber vehicle driving up, and a lot of them have the little decals in their window, or some of them even ride around with top lights that say Uber and Lyft, they don't want those guys cruising around trying to get a fare. So they've said, okay, if you want to get an Uber or Lyft, this is where you have to go to do it. You know, so Mr. Clark, all I can say is to you is quit your whining. You know, here's the thing. Most fares in Las Vegas are fairly cheap fares, if you will. Usually just going from one part of the strip to the other. So not a very large run to begin with. And I'd love to at some point in time talk to an Uber driver out in Las Vegas, because I would be willing to bet that there isn't a lot of difference between the amount of how much it would cost for a ride in an Uber as opposed to taking a ride in a taxi. Because if you think about it, except for extremely slow periods of time, Uber is usually in some sort of a surge price mode. They call it something different now, but basically their fares are not, they're not necessarily all that different from taxi fares, especially if you have a large group of people. If you have a group of people, five or six people, and you order an Uber XL, you know, in most cases, the Uber XL is actually more expensive than taking a taxi. So all I can say to this guy is that, you know, okay, he came here, big Uber fan, probably because of the technology. He looks like he's probably a technology geek. Hey, that's his world. But you have to understand that some places, and Las Vegas looks like it's getting it right finally, there are regulations that you have to follow. And in the true Uber fashion, you probably will see eventually what will happen is that Uber will come to the table and say, unless things change, we're not going to operate here. So look forward to that at some point in time or another. So, exactly, folks. All righty. It is that time to bid you adieu. We appreciate you listening here. Appreciate my buddy Fuzzy for calling in to the show. Hopefully Ed will be back here next week, and we'll be able to do this all over again in a much more cohesive, professional method. But until then, this is John Shannon. We'll talk to you next week on the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.